Welcome to In It to Win It. This is Steve Barton, and thank you for tuning in. Today, I am here with Oscar Guzman. Oscar is a loan officer and has been in real estate now for almost 2 decades. And we're going to get his take on having rental properties and creating a side hustle, a little cash flow with Airbnb. So, Oscar, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, market's been crazy. Real estate is crazy right now. And so you have to be prepared for these type of situations. You know, so one of the things that our family and I have been working on is moving towards Airbnb, which has definitely been, I would call it a successful transition. And we continue moving forward in that direction.
Yeah. Now you and I got hooked up. I recently bought 4 or 5 months ago. I bought a place that has a 2+1 in the front, and then I've got a 1+1 in the back, and I've been renovating it. And I finally threw it up to the market to see. I was pretty sure I was making a pretty good bet as far as having a rental property, but I didn't realize how good that bet was going to be until I just started getting a flood of responses. And one of the responses I got was from your wife. And she said, if I would be interested in subletting it to you guys to Airbnb. And I told her, no, but thank you. And a couple days later, I got a follow-up from you. And within a couple of minutes, I realized I was like, okay, well, I'm not a potential customer. If I was going to Airbnb it, I would just do it myself. But sure. I think you would make a great guest for the show. And so here we are. And so go ahead and just give us a 60-second background on yourself. You got your degree in business. You guys have 4 different properties. How did you get into real estate? And just give us a quick synopsis of that.
Yeah, so real estate came into my life when I was just getting out of high school. My dad was buying properties on, you know, back in 2004, 2005, when the market was, you know, just also similar to now. Except, you know, with different type of lending and whatnot, but, you know, very, very high prices. And so my dad had purchased properties here in Ventura County and also in the Bakersfield area. And so he said, hey, Oscar, well, you know, you're doing community college and whatnot. Well, you know, this is a great opportunity. You know, come on board, help me look at properties and whatnot. So I really found a passion for real estate. You know, I saw the opportunity and the long-term basically project that you can put together and kind of build a foundation. Obviously, things didn't turn as we expected back then when, you know, the housing bubble just popped. And all of a sudden, you know, we were losing homes left and right. We were trying to get rid of them, sell them. And luckily, we were able to sell some. Others we lost. But, you know, it's part of the game, right? In business, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But then in 2009, you know, my wife and I purchased our first home. And it's where we're currently living. And, you know, back then, homes were like around 194, 190 here in Ventura County. Now, a lot of people, when they hear that, they're like, hey, Oscar, well, you got to steal. Like, you know, that was a great price. But, you know, we're also making like $12, $13 an hour. So, you know, it was really a sacrifice that we had to make as a family. You know, and sometimes when we talk about real estate, it's about making sacrifices for the long term. Yeah. So, you know. At the same time, I was going to school. I graduated from CSUCI with a degree in business administration. And then I worked in the produce industry. I worked in the produce industry for about 10, 11 years. And then in 2019, July of 2019, that's when I actually came into the mortgage world. And it really just ignited me, you know, it created a whole new passion for me. During this time, we also bought another property in 2014 and we've purchased an additional 2 other properties in 2020 and 2021.
So you've had a you've been through the real estate bubble like I have back in 07. And what is your macro view? What is your big picture view of where? Now, I understand we're kind of focusing here on California and specifically Southern California, because that's where you and I live. But we got a lot of listeners in California. What's your big picture view of where we are in the real estate market right now?
It's definitely interesting times, just because we're facing a situation where there's low inventory. Market's still competitive. Sometimes we feel like it isn't, but I have families that are qualified and ready to buy, and we're still going in and we're still finding other people trying to buy. I'm still getting calls from people that want to buy. Definitely the interest rate is putting some pressure on that in not allowing prices to continue to go up and not allowing for the market to move as fast as it was moving. It's hard to guess, because we're all guessing and we're all, making an opinion. But something has to give in. Either interest rates need to give in again and go down, or prices need to give in. How much are they going to give in? In my opinion, I think no more than $100,000. But then again, it's hard to say, because, the biggest difference between 2007 and today is that today we actually have good loans. 2007 was full of stated income loans.
You basically had to be able to fog a mirror or have a pulse and you could get a loan.
Yeah. So today there's more to it. There's more to it. There's the verifications of employment. There's even the 10-day VOE before of closing, everything. We go through everything. I had a family that said, "Hey, Oscar, you just need to now take my blood. You've asked for everything. What else are you gonna ask for? But I think it's also a good thing, because again, we're in a situation where there's a lot of equity in the homes. A lot of families took advantage of the low rates in these past 2-3 years, and we have very, very strong loans. The reason we don't have more properties, I think, in the market is also because, people say, "Well, if I list my home, where am I going next?"
Yeah.
And so that's really been the challenge.
Yeah. I want to share my screen here real quick. And this, I think, will kind of give us a bigger picture view. You can see this graph here, right?
Yes.
Okay, this is the Fed funds rate. This goes back to 2000. So this is basically what the Federal Reserve is setting at interest rates. And back in 2000 here, we're up at 6.5. And then getting into the mid-2000s here, where the housing bubble hit back in 2007, we could saw it was up at 5. And they basically just crashed it within a year and essentially created free money here from 2008 or 9 until 2015. And then they started to raise interest rates again, and then bam, crashed it down again to free money in 2020 when COVID. And look at this spike that we've had here. Now, if we translate that over to 30-year mortgages, this goes back to 1971. I'm not sure if they started this graph, because that's when we went off the gold standard. But you can see what they did to fight in high inflation like we had back in the 70s. They spiked them all the way up to, it was 18 or 19% to get a home. And then back here we are to free money again in that same period. So the Fed funds rate was maybe 0.25% during this time. To get a home loan was around 3 or 4%. There was a couple little blips where you could get them in the twos. But in the last year, at the beginning of 2022, we've gone from 2.5%. And now what are we up now? We're up north of 7 or something?
Yeah. And today there was a bit of a price improvement. Maybe like 20 bips or so. We're in the sevens. We're definitely in the sevens. I was doing some numbers just to kind of get an idea. And You know, for a family to purchase a home at 550 with 5% down, you know, with the types of rates that we were seeing, you needed to be making just around $120,000. You know, and I mean, just, you know, and to give you the other side of it, I mean, there aren't a lot of homes at 550. And yeah. So, you know, that's a payment of 4,500, 4,600. And so, you know, as the price goes up, you know, now you're closer to the 5,000s. And so, you know, that's what really is kind of, you know, putting that e-brake on the market. But again, you know, I see it as two forces, you know, and they're clashing. Yeah. You know, who's going to give in? And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I know I also read an article that Fannie Mae was saying that next year they were expecting to see rates in the 4.5s. You know, I mean, and that'll definitely
in the Fed funds rate, or are you talking about in mortgage rates?
Mortgage rates.
Oh, okay. So they expect the Fed to pivot soon, yeah, and come back down.
Exactly.
Yeah. I saw the Vegas odds, or I shouldn't call them Vegas odds, but I'm a gambler by heart, so that's what I call them. But they said that they expect the Fed to pivot March of next year. So we'll see. We'll see. They were wrong when I was looking at the odds at the beginning of the year. They thought that we would already be pivoting by now. So Vegas isn't always right. But it is a lagging indicator, you know. I mean, it's not like interest rates go up and instantly the prices come down. It takes a while for this to filter through the market. And you know, people need to be doing the math every day and finding out what their payment is. And don't go necessarily by the price of the home. Go by the cost of debt every month. And if your number is, we'll just make it easy and say $5,000, then if the price and the rate that day exceeds that, you cannot afford the home. But no. If it's less than that, then you can, you know, and it's really easy to figure it. You can get a free app on your phone to find out what the payment's going to be, you know, which would save you a lot of work. You can go online and find out exactly what you're going to pay in taxes on that property. You can call up your insurance agent and find out how much would the insurance cost for that. Add all those costs up, come up with your number. And then you don't waste the real estate agent's time by going to look at a place you can't afford, or waste your time to do the numbers that they could have done.
Yeah, no, and definitely, I mean, you know, being informed is key. You know, I always say to families, you know, the key to home ownership is information. You know, understanding where you stand, and also, you know, understanding, you know, that a payment, because the number one question I get as a mortgage loan officer is, hey, Oscar, is this the right time to buy, right? And so my answer is always the same. I'm like, you know, the right time to buy is when you can afford a home.
Yeah.
Because in the long run, the home is always going to go up in value. That's what historically it's been shown, right? You just got to be able to hold on to it enough time to see that. But at the same time, you know, if you're an investor, well, obviously, you know, it's a different approach. You know, at the end of the day, it's very important to stay informed. There's always opportunities, but you just have to be ready as well.
Yeah. Do you see a... I could see something that could extend this housing bubble, and that would be a 40-year note, a 40-year mortgage. Have you seen any of those, or is that on the table even?
So at the moment, I haven't seen any of that. And I think part of it is because, again, you know, everybody's in the same position of, you know, it's a lot of, you know, skepticism of what's going to happen. You know, like, you know, everything that we're seeing today, we kind of expected it when it was the pandemic. You know, like when the pandemic hit, it was like, okay, time for the market to correct. We're going to see prices drop, you know, this and that. And it was quite the opposite. You know,
the Fed made money free again. They dropped interest rates to nothing.
We went into a refinance boom, and it was like, there was purchases, refinances, you know, left and right. So right now, I think it's key that, you know, what's going to happen in the next 2-3 months, that's really going to determine what the next step is. You know, unfortunately, sometimes what can potentially affect, you know, especially our market and the real estate market is, you know, major events, you know, and I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but, you know, kind of like the war in Ukraine, you know, of going a little bit, you know, more out of control than what's happening right now. So, you know, that's really what would, you know, definitely create a change. But again, the next 2 months will determine, because something's got to give in. I mean, we can't have high prices and high interest rates. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It, okay. So 40-year mortgage notes haven't become a thing yet that you've seen. How about, ARMs, adjustable rate, mortgages? Are those, becoming a thing, or?
They are becoming a thing. They are becoming, you know, more, you know, for some families, they're definitely taking advantage of those. You know, one of the other programs that we particularly offer, is the 2-1 buy down, temporary buy down, where basically the seller has to give a concession, to the buyer. And, you know, let's say today's rate is at 7%. So for the first year, the buyer will pay a 5% rate. Second year, they'll pay a 6% rate. And the third year, they'll go back to today's rate at 7. And so that program, what it will do is it basically is just buying you time so that, you know, we're hoping that the market will correct, or we're expecting that the market is going to correct, and that we'll be able to refinance that loan within that, you know, 2-year, 3-year period.
Okay. The risk with that is if the market doesn't correct. Now, after 2 years, are you tied to whatever market value that the cost of that loan is, or is it stuck at 7?
No, it's so you have to qualify at today's rate.
Okay.
So you have to qualify at today's rate. So essentially, the risk is the same as if you decided to buy a property today. You go with the understanding that your true rate is 7%. And you got to qualify at that 7% rate. The only difference is that it's offset with that seller credit for the first 2 years.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's move on to Airbnb. When did you start your Airbnb business?
So Airbnb is actually new to us. So like I mentioned, we have a total of 4 properties, 1 primary and 3 investments. The first 2 properties, they're being rented the traditional way, just to a family, you know,
long-term rental.
This third property was purchased with the idea of Airbnb because it already had an ADU addition. The idea was, you know, we want to try Airbnb. You know, we didn't know if it was going to work. Obviously, because we're here, we're located in Ventura County. You know, we were like, well, how many people can, you know, consider Ventura County as a vacation spot, right? But, you know, Airbnb taught us that you don't necessarily have to have a vacation spot. Sometimes you just need a spot that will provide, you know, service, kind of like, you know, basically a hotel does, right?
Yeah.
We started probably, I want to say it was back in April. Back in April when we started, the first day we put it in the market, we got, I think, 2 or 3 reservations. It was automatic. I mean, and from there on, and I'll knock on wood, we've been booked pretty much every single day. I mean, I could probably count the days that we were not booked. And we've had families that have, you know, internships that, you know, are maybe visiting someone here at the local base. somebody that's, you know, here for a wedding, somebody that's here that they're traveling, you know, to San Francisco and just need a spot to rest for the night. So you get different type of people, and you also get people that have, that want long-term stays. So, you know, we have had people that have stayed for a month, you know, to people that have, I think our minimum stay is 2 nights or something like that. But it's been definitely a game changer for us. And, you know, our goal now is to continue moving in that direction.
Now, what is, there's more cash flow in Airbnb than a long-term rental, correct?
Definitely, because, you know, now you're doing, you know, nightly rates versus, you know, your traditional long-term tenant. You know, you provide, since you're providing a service,
yeah,
you know, of having, you know, basically a furnished space.
Yeah, utilities, Wi-Fi, all that
everything,
stuff.
Everything. So it's like, you know, you coming to your home.
Yeah.
You have everything, you know, from, you know, kitchen, refrigerator, you know, TV, Wi-Fi, like you mentioned, everything. You know, it's like your home away from home.
Yeah.
At least that's the feeling that we try to provide the families that stay with us.
Now, do you sublet any others? Have you gotten any other guys like me to sublet?
Yeah, so we have another one that we do with one of our family members. And basically they've agreed for us to manage it and take care of it. And same thing. I mean, it's been working great. And one of the things that is just really pushing us to go in this direction is just the life of the property, the wear and tear. You know, because when you rent it for the traditional way, you know, the wear and tear, it goes up. You know, I mean, it's just that daily usage that that just, you know, really deteriorates your property versus, you know, being able to go in there every 3 days or every week, you know, every 2 weeks, depending on how long the stay is, and keeping everything, you know, up and going. I mean, you know, if I were to invite you today to our property, because I think today is empty. I think we have one guest that's coming in Thursday or Friday. But I mean, if I take you in, you're going to be like, Oscar, I mean, this is brand new. I mean, nobody's been here. Nobody's used it. You know, like, it's beautiful. And so, you know, that's really what encouraged me to go in this direction. Because again, I mean, the numbers are great. The numbers, you know, I can tell you that you can basically double what you get in a traditional long-term rental to what you can potentially get in Airbnb. And you can probably get more. You know, I have a thing of not being too greedy per se. You know, I rather, you know, be fair. And I think that's also what's kept our place rented very consistently. You know, but again, I mean, there's different approaches. And because, you know, we were so new with Airbnb, we just wanted to see how the workflow was, how the process was. And again, and so far it's been working out great.
What are some tips that you can give to our listeners who maybe have an Airbnb to get more traffic, like super host status or pictures or, you know, making sure you're getting reviews so people can read those? Like, what are some quick tips to get more traffic to your Airbnb?
So I think, you know, one of the because my wife is the one that actually manages, you know, the Airbnbs. But one of the things that I always see her doing is just the little things, you know, like, for example, she'll leave, you know, little pieces of chocolate, you know, messages on a message board, you know, if they're celebrating something, a birthday, or, you know, you know, she'll leave, you know, a thank you note for choosing us. Definitely pictures matter. Definitely reviews matter. But more importantly, you know, again, is the attention. You have to be there. It's a full-on business. I don't want to sound here like it's easy, because it's not. You know, she's been, you know, on top of it since we started. Communication is key. And that's really what makes a difference. Again, it's just the feeling that you want to provide to the family that's staying there, that, hey, I'm in a clean, safe, you know, place, and I feel like home. And you know, until this day, it's been working out tremendously.
Yeah, it sounds like you're making it very, I have been in Airbnbs like that, where they leave a little candy on your pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And something as simple as that, that probably costs the owner a nickel, it goes a long way.
Yeah. And so, you know, and again, it's a work in process. You know, as we meet other Airbnb owners, you know, some of those ideas they've given us, you know, I know we met someone in Santa Barbara and they were telling us that, you know, they sometimes they'll leave like a little wine bottle, you know, things like that. You know, again, you know, yes, they add cost to you, but they also go a long way. And that's what you're looking for. Hey, you know what? They'll even refer other people, you know what, stay with them, they're great. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been great.
You know, my concern with doing Airbnb is we entered a recession. We're probably going to be in one for a little while. And my thought was, if you're doing short-term rentals, that's discretionary income, you know, but if your margins are, you know, like you said, double of what you could get for a long-term rental, you got a lot of leeway there. You can have some vacant nights, even if this recession does hit you, before you have to transition to long-term.
Yeah. And remember, like I mentioned before, not everybody is traveling for pleasure per se. You know, sometimes it's work.
Yeah.
It's work. And you know what? Or sometimes it's people that, hey, I put my home in the market, you know, it's sold. I don't have a place to go. They're paying me, you know, for 2 months of rent, you know, and can I stay at your place? There you go.
Yes, you can.
I'm happy to host you. So, you know, not everybody is doing it necessarily for pleasure. So you do have quite a bit of a market. You know, again, you know, Ventura County may not be the most, you know, touristy place, but, you know, we are the midpoint between Santa Barbara and LA, you know, so it also adds some value. You know, we are close to the beach. I've thought about it, but like you said, one, you know, it's not just for pleasure. So we have people that work and that need it. And also, you know, there's good margin there, you know, where, you know, in the beginning, my thing was, hey, if I can rent it for 15 nights, I'm okay. Because that's exactly what I would have gotten if I would have rented to a long-term tenant. And it's okay. You know, it can be empty. The wear and tear is less. The life of the property just goes up and everything works out. Obviously now that, you know, we don't want it to be empty.
Yeah.
You know, we want to continue having it, you know, booked. So, you know, thank God right now it's booked through the end of the year. And I think we already have a week in January that's booked as well. So again, you know, it's just maintaining it, keeping it clean. Probably that's the most important, keeping it clean, keeping the families feeling safe. You know, our property has cameras, you know, has a keypad. you know, we try to light it up as much as we can in case they get, you know, in there at night. And so, yeah.
Okay. What do you guys use for a cleaning service? Do you and your wife do it, or do you hire that out?
So initially, my wife's been taking care of that. We're getting to a point where we want to transition that into getting somebody to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we do know other Airbnb owners, and we're actually working and maybe putting a crew together. Airbnb, since it's a business of itself, it creates the opportunity to create other businesses. You know, it's not necessarily that we want to venture into the cleaning world, you know, but maybe help someone, you know, another entrepreneur start and, you know, and work together. I mean, I think if you give opportunities to other people, you know, in the long run, you know, you can create something special for a lot of people. And it's important too.
Yeah. Yeah. Karma, what goes around comes around.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Well, thank you, Oscar, for coming on the show. If people want to get a hold of you, OscarGuzman.themoneystore.com. Is that the best place?
That's our website. OGuzman@themoneystore.com. That's my email.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we'll be happy to help. We'll be happy to provide information. You know, I think, like I mentioned in the beginning, information is key. If you're informed, you're able to make decisions and also share it with everyone. Again, hey, you know, this is the way we've done things. This is how we've managed to buy 4 properties. And, you know, we're all already looking for the 5th one. So, if we can help another family accomplish that, you know, we're happy to help.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Oscar. And to you, please like and subscribe to the video and share it with anyone that you think needs to hear it. Go to stevebartonmoney.com for past episodes, and I will talk to you next week.